Hello and welcome to the Being Heard podcast, a space where human and horse can come together through the art of discussion and story sharing. I'm your host, Dilara, and I live in the UK with my herd of five horses who are going to be jumping in and out of this podcast as we go on this journey together. One thing I know is that we all need to be heard. We all need to be listened to, and it's through listening to the horses that I've come to realize that. And the feeling I have with them when they're holding space for me is something I feel is needed throughout the world. So my intention for the Being Heard podcast is to have the horse's voice be heard through the human's ability to listen. And that means listen to themselves, share their level of consciousness, where they're at, share their journey with horses, and any information that's relevant to help create a world where being heard as a community is at the forefront. And through listening to one another, ideally we're able to assist in the awakening that's happening in the equine industry right now. So thank you for being here. Thank you for tuning in and thank you for listening. Welcome to another episode of the Being Heard podcast. Today, I want to talk about safety. Actually, I'm going to completely let this go with the flow and tell you the first thing that just came into my mind when I said that. When I was doing my equine craniosacral training with the amazing Maureen Rogers, I remember her saying, what is the number one rule of working with horses and doing cranial with horses in terms of what is the number one physical rule and what is the number one rule in her classes and her trainings? And, you know, some of us would sit there like, oh, I don't know, what's the answer? And it was always safety. Number one rule is safety. And it's funny because, you know, the more familiar we become with our horses, and maybe this is the same with people actually, the more familiar we become with certain situations, there's almost like this boundary of or definition of safety that gets dropped because we then assume that everything's okay, right? Like if I move around my horse or I stand behind my horse for X amount of time and, you know, time after time after time as well, and I'm always safe and everything's fine, then I'm going to create this neurological pathway in my brain that says, this is fine to do and everything's okay and I'm safe. Now, that is more of a kind of learnt relaxation within an experience. What I want to talk about today is safety in terms of the link between safety and stress and the energetic information that we're connected to. So I started doing a training recently called Sexual Kung Fu, which is run and offered by my friend Hira Hosen. Highly, highly recommend anybody and everybody to take a training with her because she is phenomenal. She has, again, been such a huge catalyst for change in my life over the years. I mean, I went to Egypt with her. We traveled to Israel. I've done a few of her trainings online and she's just brings it. Like she just brings the energy and the knowledge and she's super committed to her path. So anyway, I'm doing this training with her. And on the first day, we had this beautiful conversation she gave this beautiful teaching actually around safety and stress and how ultimately, you know, this is something that I have felt and believed for a long time. As a woman in particular, the world actually is and can feel incredibly unsafe for so many of us. And of course, that translates into the world that we as humans have created for horses. So for those of you who don't know, if you don't have horses in your life, then there are basically, you know, two ends of the spectrum that you can look after horses and have them in your life and create space for them, which is one is in a confined, more kind of domesticated, controlled environment where they live in a stable all the time. They only go out of the stable at certain times to exercise. They're in training for a sport or a discipline. Their food is very controlled. And it's a version of reality that is the case for, I would say, the majority of horses in the equine world, especially in America, Australia, New Zealand, England, Germany, and other countries in Europe. So yeah, it's the case for a lot of horses where they tend to live in this unsafe environment for them, which is unsafe because it is actually the opposite of how they would live if they were out in the wild, in open space, heads down, eating 90% of the time and being able to move freely and being able to use their instincts to tap into their environment and thus gauge what actions they need to take, right? So that is what I just described there, kind of the other end of the spectrum on how people tend to also care for their horses. So I would say I'm an example. I do the best that I can, but I'm sure there's always more to do where the horses in my life basically are free range. They can move around the property and the home that we have wherever they want. They have access to hay and different types of forage at all times. I do feed them in the morning because I also supplement them with things that they're not getting because they're not living in the most natural environment possible. And at the same time, they have access to each other all the time. They have access to everything that I can provide, and they can move in a way which, yes, is actually confined to the space that we're in, but it also, it's as free as can be provided. So you've got these two ends of the spectrum, right? And then there's everything in between. And some people do a great job of you know, trying to create a blend of both worlds. And ultimately, what I sense is that, you know, we are all organically going to transition into the way of looking after them that we would want to be looked after. And that comes through unconsciously and consciously shifting into a space of feeling and awakening and empathy and opening up. And just having the consciousness to think, oh, you know, how would this feel if this was me? Would I like to be looked after like this? Would I like to be talked to like this, treated like this, fed like this? You know, if the answer is no, then how can I change that right now and continue to put steps in place to change that so that I can create a life for my horse that would also reflect how I would love to be cared for and looked after and treated. And of course, that's different. It's different in the sense of we're a different species. We need different things. And the deeper sense of reflection here is we are all one. There is a unifying field that connects us all. And within that unifying field, information is being passed through at all times. So horses are continuously giving us the information that we need to be able to tap into what is needed for them to feel safe. So again, swinging back around to this theme of safety, I am going to tell you a story which, I just want to touch on one more thing before I do that. Often in the more controlled environments, like I described, you know, the first end of the spectrum where a horse is being kept in a stable and everything is almost itemized to a certain degree. Sometimes the argument is, you know, the horse is safer that way. A horse is kept away from danger and yeah, they're seen to be safer and managed, right? And maybe to some degree we could say that that's true. And there is the other truth that horses instinctively, mentally, emotionally, energetically on all levels need to be able to feel free by using their instincts and being able to connect to nature, their environment and each other as much as possible. And when they are naturally doing that, it's not like something that is even as much as possible or has a level to it because it's so innate. It's something that they just do all the time, just like us. If we were to walk into a space that feels a certain way, our entire being is going to instinctively and also unconsciously connect to that environment and then dictate what we do. The difference between humans and horses is that humans, we carry trauma in our unconscious and our body in a way that horses do not. And that trauma and our experiences in life also dictate our responses and our reactions to things and how we communicate with people and how we engage with ourselves and with others. So that is the same for horses in terms of if a horse has been traumatized or treated, you know, a certain way, of course, that is going to affect their behavior moving forward. But the way that information is stored in us, I would say there's quite a big gap there. That's a conversation for another time. So going back to safety, sometimes I wonder whether that way of keeping horses And that way of looking after them also filters out into our life. Like, are there spaces and people and places that we feel that we need to control and manage and box in, and in order to keep away from danger? You know, are there areas in our lives that we don't go and we won't explore and we'll stay away from because it might mean that we're vulnerable, and it might mean that, you know, our safety gets questioned? But in that sense, are we letting ourselves be free? And this is actually a bit of a segue. I wasn't planning on going here, but it's an interesting point to consider. You know, it's not right, it's not wrong. It's just a reflection point of how safe are we really being if we keep ourselves locked up? How safe are we being if we aren't letting ourselves flow and connect from our truth, because our truth might be criticized or damaged in some way? And in that sense, are we letting ourselves fully be seen and heard? And if we did let ourselves be seen and heard by us first, what would that actually feel like? You know, and how would that affect our relationships with our horses? Because they are also waiting for us to come into a place where we do that for ourselves first. And it takes courage and it's brave, because we so often get told that we need to be a certain way, do a certain thing in order to be accepted, and that's safe. But ultimately, horses are, I see this image now of them kind of standing and waiting for us to awaken in a way that allows the true essence of who we are to also be the safest place. And one thing that I've really been feeling into recently is the safer I become, or I feel, the safer I feel for myself, and the more I choose to witness myself every day. And by the way, this is a huge process. It's not like, yeah, I'm very much a student of this way. But the more I do that, oh my God, the more I witness the herd, the more safe I feel around them, the more safe they seem to feel with me. Now, this goes deep because I've been living with them for 10 years. I've been living with Florenzo for longer than that. We've spent hours and hours together. We wrote a book together. You know, we have been to deep places, but this level of depth through focusing on how much energetic safety is being created is it's a different thing. It's a new thing. And for so much of my life, I focused on feeling I was unsafe, you know, and working through layers of trauma that were linked to this lack of safety. And switching that up to focusing on just the witnessing and the unfolding and the conscious choice to become a safe place for the horses is pretty mind-blowing. And again, like I said, every time I meet them in that place, I realize that they've already been there to a certain degree. They have traveled to levels of consciousness that I'm catching up to, right? And they're just waiting until I land. So I had an experience in Delphi. I went to Delphi at the very beginning of March and had the most life-changing, incredible experiences there. I highly recommend going if you haven't been. The energy there is off the charts. It's beautiful, it's powerful, it's the land has such a potent and specific voice and a lot of wisdom to share. So just a quick story from there. It was my first day and I was walking down through the village to go to the Temple of Athena, which is where the oracle supposedly gave her administrations from. And it's in front of this beautiful mountain. And if you were following me at that time, you would have seen that I was just sharing all these videos of just the mountain. I was like putting all my focus into the nature rather than the physical structure of the building. And I was receiving so much information. I was walking through the village. I had my phone out, just constantly writing. And all of the information that was coming through is very natural for me when I'm traveling for that to happen. And this was like, whoa, this and then this. And it was pretty next level. And I stopped lots of times to just sit and observe and feel into what was flowing through me. And I really sensed the oracle within my surroundings coming forward and showing herself. And I could feel her like granting me access to that within me too. And it was beautiful. And so then I get to, I don't know, about 5 minutes away from the Temple of Athena. And there's a beautiful spring across the other side of the road. It's called the Castagna Spring. And it's actually the place that the oracle lived. So the spring is said to originate, or one of the main places you can access it is actually in a cave in the mountain that I'd kept staring at. And I found all this out afterwards. But, you know, the spring, you can drink the water. I mean, it's like drinking starlight. It's incredible. But anyway, there are these two men by the spring. And I'm a woman. I'm traveling alone. I've traveled 99.9% of all of the places I've been to by myself. And, you know, I love doing that. I do it for a reason. I do it. One of the reasons is so that I can really tap into and receive the information that I get when I travel. So at the same time, of course, things happen, you know, and unsafe things happen and things that trigger me happen. So there are these two guys across the road and they start talking to me and kind of shouting at me and getting my attention. And, you know, I'm used to that in a sense. And so I just respond accordingly and I can, like, you know, shift my energy into a place that basically says and communicates that I'm not interested in starting a conversation, and I carry on walking and I'm feeling into that. And it didn't seem to affect me very much. I was just like, okay, this is one of those situations, and then we just keep going. And then I realized that all of the information I was receiving had, like, gone quiet. And I just got this huge, ironically, even though things had gone quiet, I got this huge message come forward, which was, that is what happens when we don't feel safe. Because even though I felt largely fine with the experience, my body, of course, had gone into fight or flight, had gone into, am I safe? Had gone into freeze mode, had gone into, you know, I'm suddenly like, I'm tense, right? And there was this restriction that moved through my body. That restriction closed me off to the information that was coming in. Now, that doesn't mean that I was closed. It means that the experience itself meant that, like, my response to the experience and the whole experience itself meant that I needed to put my focus into a different place, into my environment, into my immediate space around me. Like Hira would say, like the animal within needed to make sure that I was okay. And consequently, that flow that I'd just been in, and that the writing and that oracular state and the oracle archetype coming through was quiet. And I thought, okay, wow, that is what happens. That is what happens to the feminine when there is a lack of safety. And it made me feel really, really emotional. I feel emotional talking about it. Like, I felt in that moment how the feminine and the allowance that the feminine has for the flow of creative information, as opposed to destructive information, creative information, is so powerful and so magical that the only way to stop that is to put on top of it the feeling of having to focus on whether one is safe or not. And it was so clear to me in that moment that, like, what had happened for generations and generations that had quietened the voice of the divine for the feminine. Not because, like, it's not there, like I said, but because the feminine has been unsafe for so long. And immediately I applied that to the horses in the moment. Immediately I was like, and that is what happens when we're with our horses. In terms of, what do I mean by that? In the episode that I shared, when I, you know, I was saying, I shared with you that 2023 was very stressful for me and I went through lots of anxiety. I could not hear the horses during that time. There were moments that I had where the information would flow in and I was writing still, you know, but in the past I'd written like one huge A4 notebook every month or something. And this is, I'm still going through my first small notebook because there was such a lull because I felt so stressed, and that stress was linked with a feeling of unsafety that meant that I wasn't able to hear the flow of divine information that was available to me. And so in that moment in Delphi, it became, like I said, like the water. It was that clear. I was like, this is what happens when the feminine, and I'm just speaking to the feminine here because I'm a woman and I'm exploring my own feminine energy and the feminine principles within me and nature and in connection to the horses. So when the feminine is safe, the flow and the sources of information that are available to us and the voices that want to speak through us can. And as soon as there is anything that are in our environment, and that is external or internal, that is going to create a lack of safety or turn that safety off and create restriction through our body, that voice is going to be diminished. And that means that the information that is meant to be moving through us needs to just wait. You know, it's going to be, there's going to be like a clog there. And when it comes to being somebody who really, really wants to hear what their horses have to say and wants to give them a voice. Now, I'm talking about all of you listening who feel like that. When it comes to that, our safety, our internal regulation in terms of regulating our nervous system, coming back to the breath, creating a safe space for ourselves. Yes, those things. And I'm also talking about doing the inner work around how unsafety has shown up in our lives and our personalities over the years. Doing that work, focusing on that, being able to bring the light of our consciousness into that realm in order to allow a space of integration for us to feel more safe and thus become a safe person and a safe space for our horses to be around, not only enhances the perception that we have of where our horses are at, but it also allows for their voice to be heard at a deeper level, because the oracle within us is, she has the space to dance, right? She has the space to speak. She has the space to move within us, because we're not like, oh my God, am I safe? And it might surprise some of you how often that, oh my God, feeling comes up. Now, again, I'm speaking from my own personal experience of having felt unsafe in my childhood and then brought that through into my personal life in terms of relationships and different physical situations. And at the same time, what I've learned through listening to people talk about this is how many women and also how many people and how many horses have felt unsafe over the years. And what I saw and I experienced in Delphi was a very beautiful, quick, the moment was so quick and the seeing was so quick. It was literally 30 second experience. But what I saw and experienced there was almost what the result of that is, of that unsafety is. And I also felt like if we have been living in an unsafe world, then by the design of that, what has that meant? It has meant that the universe, source, God, the goddess, the divine, whatever word you want to use, that lives within you, also hasn't had a voice, has had a voice at times, but that flow, that experience of, you know, that I described, I'm walking down towards the temple, I'm in complete receiving mode of what needed to move through me as a vessel. And, you know, that information is on my phone and I've shared it with some friends. And consequently had an incredible synchronicity experience that I'll share in another episode maybe. But that information, that voice, hasn't had the space that it deserves and that maybe we are all becoming ready for now. And so it goes both ways. Like Angela from Equine Elevation would say, like, there's something in everything, or everything is something. Everything is connected. So the environment that we've created for our horses on the first end of the spectrum that I described, of the box, the control, the kind of manipulation of things that happen, the overuse, the forcing, in a way to, yes, maybe one of the reasons is to kind of keep them away from safety or injury. It also stops them being heard, being listened to. It stops their divine voice coming through and creating the spaciousness and allowing the freedom of movement through acknowledging, and by that I mean giving them the physical space where possible, giving them the emotional, psychological space where possible, and allowing the acknowledgement within us of what actually feels safe and unsafe within our systems as well, allows for their voice to be more heard and allows for us to also listen from a place of genuine stillness. Because something that isn't safe can't be still. It can be frozen, but it can't be still. It's very different. It's a different quality. You know, I would say, you know, something that's frozen has actually got it's like a trapped energy, right? It's got the feeling that it froze into within it. And in order to be safe and to, let's say, be avoided, it needs to freeze so that it almost doesn't exist. But something that is still has so much movement in it. Again, it's the paradox, right? Something that is still has almost chosen consciously and through a different level of consciousness to become, yeah, to become a moving experience from a different lens. Stillness contains all of the potential life within it. And so when we are still, and when we are in spaciousness, and when we're present, all of that movement and all of that potential and all of the information is there. But that can also only happen when we know within us, to whatever degree that we can, to whatever capacity that we have, that there is a safety to do that. And the way that that's built is through, I think, a devotion and a dedication to that. And I want to hear my horses. I want to fucking hear what they have to say. And I also want to be heard. And of course, this is the Being Heard podcast, so I'm really liking how this is tying in. It wasn't planned. But yeah, I want to be heard as well. And the relationship that I have with them needs to mirror that. And so the more that I can work on my own feeling of being safe and acknowledging where I have been an unsafe person, which is what I've been learning through this sexual kung fu training with Hira, and where I have also felt unsafe, acknowledging those things and letting it be okay, you know, it inadvertently creates this connection with God, you know, through, like I explained, the experience of being so open to the messages that were coming through. Yeah, so I hope that it's helpful. It's something that's really important to me is, I know I've touched on this before, so it's obviously important for other people as well, or it really needs to come through, but this sense of people being safe and of not being safe because there's something that is attacking them, but being safe because we have learnt that the world is an unsafe place, and it's up to us to change that within us. And we have created an unsafe world for the horses, and it's up to us to change that by listening to them ultimately. And it's really moving away from this, oh, I know how that needs to happen, but more, I actually don't know. And what can I, through this stillness and the spaciousness, what can I actually listen to? What can I listen to that needs to be put into place? And I feel that so many of you listening and so many people are beginning to do that, and maybe are doing that, you know, so much and with such a huge capacity with their horses. And what I'm just touching on here is the reality of our nervous systems and the almost like the design of, oh, okay, let's say the system, right? The system that we all live in. If there is a design of an unsafe world, then that means that God can't really be heard. Therefore, sovereignty is cut out. And that goes for all species. And the opposite applies. You know, and it's up to us to generate the actions within our lives and the moments of holding ourselves through the unsafety, to remember that that is how we create the safety, is showing up and showing up for our horses through showing up for ourselves. So I hope that that's helpful. And again, if you would like to contact me or talk to me about any of this, I would so love that. And it's so welcome. Your feedback and your responses and questions and conversation starters are so welcome. So please feel free to do that. You can contact me on Instagram or through my website. And I will see you in the next episode. Thank you for listening.